Nisin came back through the door. He stopped when he saw the screen.
That was quick, he said to Yalsin. What did he say?
Yalsin just shook her head. Hauser felt a wave of relief sweep through him. He looked at each word on the screen in turn, as though frightened that the short message could somehow conceal a hidden negation. He smiled and said, Thank you. Shall I go down alone to the planet? You may enter. There is death here. Be warned. What death? Hauser said. The relief waned. The Dra'ezan's words about death chilled him. Where is their death? Whose? The screen changed again, the first two lines disappearing. Now it simply said, Be warned. I do not, Unahar Klosp said slowly, like the sound of that at all. Then the screens were clear. Wubslin sighed and relaxed. The sun of the Shah's world system shone brightly ahead of them, less than a standard light year away. Hauser checked the figures on the navigation computer as its screen flickered back to normality along with the rest, displaying numbers and graphs and holographics. Then the changer sat back in his seat. We're through, all right, he said. We're through the quiet barrier.
So, nothing can touch us now, huh?
Nisin said. Hauser gazed at the screen. The single yellow dwarf star showing as a bright, unwavering spot of light in the centre, planets still invisible. He nodded. Nothing. Nothing outside, anyway.
Great. Think I'll have a drink to celebrate.
Nisin nodded at Yalsin, then swung his thin body out through the doorway. Do you think it meant only you can go down, or all of us? Yalsin asked, still staring at the screen. Hauser shook his head. I don't know. We'll go into orbit, then broadcast to the changer base shortly before we try taking the cat in. If Mr. Adequate doesn't like it, he'll let us know. You've decided it's male, then, said Balveda, just as Yalsin said. Why not contact them now? I didn't like that bit about there being death here. Hauser turned towards Yalsin. Balveda was at her side. The drone had floated down a little to eye level. Hauser looked at Yalsin. Just as a precaution, I don't want to give anything away too soon. He turned his gaze to the culture woman. Last I heard, the regular transmission was due from the base on Shah's world a few days ago. I don't suppose you heard whether it had been received. Hauser grinned at Balveda in a way that was meant to show he didn't expect an answer, or at least not a truthful one. The tall culture agent looked at the floor, seemed to shrug, then met Hauser's eyes. I heard, she said. It was overdue. Hauser stayed looking at her. Balveda didn't take her eyes away. Yalsin glanced from one to another. Eventually, the drone Unahar Klosp said, Frankly, none of this inspires confidence. My advice would be to... It stopped as Hauser glared at it. It said. Well, never mind that for now. It floated sideways to the door and went out. Seems to be okay, Wubslin said, not apparently addressing anybody in particular. He sat back from the console, nodding to himself. Yes, ship's back to normal now. He turned round and smiled at the other three. They came for him. He was in a game hall playing floatball. He thought he was safe there, surrounded by friends in every direction. They seemed to float like a cloud of flies in front of him for a second, but he laughed that off, caught the ball, threw it and scored a point. But they came for him there. He saw them coming, two of them, from a door set in a narrow chimney of the spherical ribbed game hall. They wore cloaks of no colour and came straight toward him. He tried to float away, but his power harness was dead. He was stuck in mid-air, unable to make progress in any direction. He was trying to swim through the air and struggle out of his harness so that he could throw it at them, perhaps to hit, certainly to send himself off in the other direction when they caught him. None of the people around him seemed to notice, and he realized suddenly they were not his friends, that in fact he didn't know any of them. They took his arms, and in an instant, without travelling past or through anything, yet somehow making him feel they had turned an invisible corner to a place that was always there but out of sight, they were in an area of darkness. Their no-colour cloaks showed up in the darkness when he looked away. He was powerless, locked in stone, but he could see and breathe. Help me, That is not what we are here for. Who are you? You know. I don't. Then we can't tell you. What do you want? We want you. Why? Why not? But why me? You have no one. What? You have no one. What do you mean? No family, no friends, no religion, no belief. That's not true. How would you know? I believe in what? Me. That is not enough. Anyway, you'll never find it. What? Find what? Enough. Let's do it now. Do what? Take your name. I... And they reached together into his skull and took his name, so he screamed.
Horza?
Yalson shook his head, bouncing it off the bulkhead at the top of the small bed. He spluttered awake, the whimper dying on his lips, his body tense for an instant, then soft. He put his hands out and touched the woman's furred skin. She put her hands behind his head and hugged him to her breast. He said nothing, but his heart slowed to the pace of hers. She rocked his body gently with her own, then pushed his head away, bent and kissed his lips.